wake your punk ass up. The MCA's back in the motherfucking house, kicking a straight gangster shit for the 9-1, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Growing up in the hood, yeah boy, 1984 was the year my peers didn't know what was in store. A little hard head kick came of age, time to pay my dues, learn the tricks of the trade. And at home it's the same ass story, moms treat me like she don't even know me. But my younger brothers got much clout, I can't take this shit, so I bones the hell out and run with the pack of wicked motherfuckers. No shorts are taken, we down black brothers. A little nigga with no problems at all, fucked up and killed my first 8-ball. Quick off the stairs, so little sucker stop looking, stagger to the house so I can collect my whooping. But watch out, cause a little nigga's up to no good, growing up in the hood. Times and will I escape? Sometimes I wonder, but it just seems that the hood that took me under. Holy sweat my tip and keep harassing, trying to lock me up cause I keep on blasting. Community trying to shut me out, but the money keeps flowing and I got much clout with the cluckers. The brunt I'm back, street punk suckers trying to break me out, fool. You be a show motherfucker, always strapping, eager to peel a cap. I set up a trap, put you quick to a nap, cause I grew up fast on the wrong side of the law. So watch me take two to your jaw. Don't enter my hood, homeboy. Not a RoboCop, a RoboGangster ready to destroy. I take chances, cause life to me ain't no good. Growing up in the hood. I'm legit and I'm fucking up shit. I'm ready to peel a sucker's cap, and I heard that my hood was making snaps. As I proceed to make my riches, just like the neighborhood kingpin pimping all these bitches. Task force trying to roll deep, but I'm playing these punk fools cheap. Niggas roll by and tried to blast, it didn't work. I seen the bullets flying and fool, I hit the dirt. Bullet flies through the window, hits my brother, down goes my mother. As I'm rolling, I'm hitting my switches, looking for the punk-ass sons of bitches. I found them before I kill them. I said, you fucked up good, gotta handle that. Growing up in the hood. A brother's on the run. I got my hand in my stash box. Wanted cause I'm serving them the potent fat rocks. And my face is like a household name. Everybody warns their kids about the dope gang, but I'm still making my profit, and the one time just can't stop it. So I keep hiding my face, no time to waste. They got me on the chase. Now the neighborhood's on my line, cause I'm punk ass food and drop the dime. 5-4 at my door at 8 o'clock, rush to the toilet so I can flush the rock out the back door. Freeze, I heard a shout at my show. Yo, I guess I got no clout, but it's murder one and I'm the victim. Damn, that ain't good. Growing up in the hood.
Yo, 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 welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest episode of the Reckless Effect podcast. I'm your host, Reckless in the motherfucking building. That was Compton's Most Wanted and their track from the Boys in the Hood soundtrack, Growing Up in the Hood. Had to play something from that soundtrack, and that was definitely going to be the one. I'm sure you all know about John Singleton's passing. Rest in peace to the legendary director. Man, sad news. Sad news. last week, he went into the hospital complaining of leg pains. He had a stroke in the hospital, went into a coma, and hoping for the best, but fearing the worst, he ended up passing away on Monday 51 years old. It's sad. Incredibly sad. It's funny because I've met some people over the past couple of days who were just like, oh, who's Don Singleton? I guess he died. And then they're sitting there Googling, and then I just like lean over and I'm like, what is going on in the world? But it's kind of crazy because being 31 years old, looking back on his work and recognizing like he was the vision. He had the vision. He saw what was and showed the world really what it is through the eyes of the people who were there. Movies like Baby Boy, Higher Learning, Boys in the Hood especially. To me, watching Boys in the Hood, I didn't grow up like in the hood. I didn't. But when I first saw like people dying, and like I used to live in this weird little like place, and what was crazy was that on one side of the street it was safe, it was nice, people were like helpful and handy and everyone was just cool. But then when you go across the street, that's where like the drug dealers were, that's where like a lot of the pimps and a lot of bad shit was going down. And what was crazy was that as a kid, I'm looking at them and I'm just like, y'all crazy, you know, and not fully understanding what was actually going on over there. I just thought it was just weird people doing weird things. And then I see this movie and then it hits me and I realize why my mom didn't want me to go outside, why she didn't want me to go far away from her sight, because she knew what was on the other side. And yeah, man, that movie opened my eyes to like a whole new world of shit that was actually going down that I was just oblivious to, and thankful that my mom protected me from that. But anyway, at 24 years old, he was the first African American to be nominated for Best Director at the Oscars, and he was the youngest to do so. Not just the youngest black man, the youngest period. He was that's crazy. And only four other black men had that acclaim, had that honor, you know, and Jordan Peele being one of them, Spike Lee being another, Lee Daniels. And there was one more, but I forgot who that was. And yeah, that's just sad. Still, whenever Poetic Justice comes on, I'm watching it. Whenever Boys in the Hood is on, I'm watching it. Higher Learning, classic, great fucking movie, I'm watching it. He gave Ice Cube his first role, you know. He gave Janet Jackson her first role. He saw these entertainers, these black entertainers, and wanted to give them the platform to be able to showcase their skill outside of what it was that they were doing, singing, rapping, whatever. And one of the most powerful movies that he put out was, besides Boys in the Hood, was Rosewood. My opinion, of course, my opinion, but, just the retelling of that horrific tale of what happened in that city was just phenomenal. Absolutely. I remember, my mom had bought it and she brought it home and she said, I need you and your brother to go outside, play. You guys can't see this movie. And I was like, okay. And when I come back 2 hours later, the last scene was playing and it was them on a train going away. And my mom is standing there crying. And she said, I just need to go to my room. And then she comes out later and she says, whenever I watch movies like that, it makes me hate white people. And I was like, damn, that's tough. That's rough. So one day I actually sat down and I watched the movie. And at the end, I 100% was feeling what my mom was laying down. Like, I totally understood. And I was about, like, 13 at the time, and I could handle stuff like that. But she felt that she didn't want me to have to carry that burden in my heart, because I'm young, and I should know where I come from, but I should also recognize where we're at. And see change and have hope. So it was, but that movie really like fucked me up, and it opened me up to showing, to seeing new things and seeing how we were looked at in history, where we were, the things that happened before us. He took that bold step. So it's a sad days. What's beautiful was that Barack Obama, he tweeted out about John Singleton, and he said his seminal work, Boys in the Hood, remains one of the most searing, loving portrayals of the challenges facing inner city youth. He opened doors for filmmakers of color to tell powerful stories that have been too often ignored. Well said, very much true. He was the one that stepped up and stood out there and showed out. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had F. Gary Gray. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have Ava DuVernay, Jordan Peele. We wouldn't have these great, legendary, or legends in the make, Ryan Coogler. We wouldn't have any of these greats if it wasn't for this man stepping up and depicting an amazing and beautiful tale of what it is in the hood. So, sad day. Yeah, man. Rest in peace to John Singleton. Condolences to him and his family. I know that they're going through it real tough right now. Let's try to get into something really lighthearted. So the Avengers came out, and you goddamn right I went to go see that shit. incredible fucking movie. Incredible. Now, if you've been watching these movies for the past 10 years, watching all of these incredible tales from Iron Man all the way on to this film, or getting ready to see this film, you have all this emotion going in. It's not just the anticipation of seeing this movie, but it's like trying to see what's going to happen next. How are they going to finish this? How are things going to come to a head? How is this final battle going to be like? And I love the fact that they really tricked us into looking at this trailer and thinking that it's telling a whole tale, that we're seeing a lot of bits and pieces of this movie, but the trailers that were shown were pretty much the first like 10, 15 minutes of the movie. And we still had a whole 2 hours and 45 minutes left. I love that swerve, because I really was like, I was anticipating so much, and then I realized I shouldn't anticipate it. I should just let this story happen. I cried about 3 or 4 times in this movie, especially at the end. And spoiler, a lot of people were pissed off because there's no like little trailer or sneak peek or anything like that at the end. There isn't one. There's no mid-credits or post-credits trailer. There isn't one. And I felt like that was perfect, because you're basically getting the closure that you need. They ended. The closure is there for this particular saga. And I thought that was perfect and well done. And I loved hearing like the clanging at the end, because it opened. It had like two parallels about it. One was, it was in honor of Tony Stark, who started this whole thing with him making the Iron Man suit while he was captured. But then also I took it as, it's someone taking over the mantle. Someone is creating the next. So it was a nice little like moment for me, just hearing those clanks at the end. That was nice. But damn, it was such a good film, such a good story, and how to end this incredible saga. Like, just incredible. Oh shit, and I just realized I probably spoiled it. But I don't care. Like, if you haven't seen it already, something's wrong with you. In 5 days, that movie grossed already $1.27 billion. That's fucking crazy. That is crazy. It broke every single fucking record that you could throw at it. I mean, the biggest debut on a Thursday, the biggest debut on a Friday, the biggest debut over a weekend. Like, it just killed. It absolutely killed. Biggest debut overseas. hands down, the movie is well deserved. And to put it in perspective, like it's because there's still a lot of people who are gonna go see it again, and people that haven't seen it yet. By next week, we could find that this movie has hit $2 billion, and that Infinity Wars, it's nearly or almost there or there at the 2 billion mark. Both of these movies had a budget of $1 billion. Infinity Wars and Endgame, it had $1 billion budget, and not only did it recoup, it's making more. So that's amazing. And to see Captain Marvel go from 7th place to 2nd over the weekend, because people needed to see this movie so they can catch up. It was, man, such a good fucking movie. I loved every single fucking minute of it. The Love You 3000, so, oh, sweet. The deaths, the, it, oh, man. And I was having, like, conversations with people about, like, time travel, timelines, and being splintered off, everything that Captain America did. It was like, yo, we need to watch this movie again, because not only was it hella good, but then there were some questions still. And I had a theory at the end of the movie. There was the funeral scene, spoiler, there's a funeral scene, and you see a whole bunch of people lining up at the funeral, and you see this one kid standing by himself alone, and he doesn't look at all familiar. Come to find out, that kid was the kid that Tony helped in Iron Man 3, or who helped him in Iron Man 3 with the potato gun. So that was nice to see that and bring that in, because even though it was subtle, I noticed at that moment that they subtly have put in place people to carry the mantle of these next superheroes. Like we saw a little girl in Captain Marvel, and we all know who she ends up becoming in the future. Then we see this kid and what potentially could be from him. So I'm hella excited to see what's going next. I do wish that Far From Home was came prior, but it's interesting that it's supposed to be the quote last of this saga, of the Infinity Saga. So I want to know what's gonna happen next. Going forward, I mean, we're gonna get a Black Widow movie. We're getting Doctor Strange 2. We're getting a new one with Shang-Chi. We're getting Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and Thor is supposed to be a part of that. So we're gonna see a lot of cool stuff going forward. It kind of feels like, even though I have my closure from everything that happened, I feel like I'm still excited for what's to come. Like, and I'm not going to look at it as this might be, you know, they have to tell an amazing story going forward. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen. And of course, Black Panther 2 is going to be like fucking incredible. So in the next 2 years, we're going to see some really good stories coming forward. And even with the Eternals coming up, I think in 2020, 21, something like that, like I'm hype. Marvel did their thing, and knowing that Disney Plus is also going to have some of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on there with Bucky and Falcon, we're also going to see Vision and Wanda. We're going to see Hawkeye training his daughter. Like, that's going to be interesting to see going forward. So I'm really excited about that. And another movie I'm excited to see is Coming to America 2. I don't know when that's going to happen, but the pre-production had already begun. Akon had made like a declaration of sorts when he said that he told Eddie he should be hiring African actors for the movie. And TMZ actually brought that shit up to him and asked him about it. And he said specifically that he would love that one funny African, Michael Blackson. Personally, I think that would be dope as hell. I know that they already started the pre-productions and everything, but there's still time to write him in there and have him do something. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's going to be great. Michael Blackson is hella funny, and he is from Ghana. So it would be a good little spot for that man. Now, I don't really want to talk about Jussie Smollett anymore, but this one is kind of interesting. Empire is coming back for another season, for season 6. Fox issued a statement saying, by mutual agreement, the studio has negotiated an extension to Jussie Smollett's option for season 6, but at this time, there are no plans for the character of Jamal to return to Empire. So, that sounds really weird that they extended it. It's just more of like them saying that they're just gonna, it's just a wait and see how this civil case is gonna be happening, going down. Again, he is being sued by the city of Chicago because he didn't take the initial deal to want to just pay out the $140,000. Now they're going forward with this trial, and if he loses, he could pay upwards of $500,000. Me personally, I would have just taken the L and just said, here's the money. Because if this goes to trial, all this stuff becomes public. Then you're going to see everything that they've done. I've said this before, but now you're going to see everything that they worked with, that they've done to investigate. You're going to see more like surveillance tapes, maybe. You're going to see the reports and what they found. You're going to hear the initial statements from the brothers. You're going to see all of these things that to them proved that he faked this attack. So, in essence, if he does this and decides to go in and not take a deal of any sort, he could not just have to pay $500,000, but he would also have to, he would probably lose his job, and he'd be hard to work anywhere else, because who would want to take a chance on somebody who made a public display of ignorance in that way, to where you are now a liability for this business. We're business at the end of the day. And as much as we would want you to be on this show, we can't afford bad publicity from someone who's making a mockery of the justice system and of people who are actually being hurt, violated. So bold move, Fox, a great move for keeping the show. You know, I like that you just took sticking your toe in the water just to see. But also, we got to remember, this is Disney's baby now. They don't play over there in Disney. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But if I was Jesse, I would just shut it down. Fuck it. but let's get into some music. Schoolboy Q. He has dropped his latest album. I don't know if you guys got to hear, but it's called Crash Talk. Really good tracks on here. It does not sound anything from his Oxymoron album. It doesn't sound like any of that. Because when Blank Face came out in 2016, I was excited because I loved Oxymoron. That was such a great album. I love hearing Schoolboy Q. I love hearing how he rhymes. But because that sound was so like distinct, Blank Face didn't have that. It was a different sound. It was a different way of rapping. And I was just like, I don't know how to feel. And I really wasn't really feeling it that much. But this one, again, completely changed like the way he rhymes, the beat selection, even the features, it's different. But I was actually really digging it. And it sounds like the man is focused. I love the fact that they take years to put pen to pad and put that onto music and put it with the beats and be able to really deliver something like extraordinary. And this was no joke. I mean, when I heard Num Num Juice a while back, I was like, yo, this song is short as fuck, but I love it. Like, like it's dope. He has a joint on here, Drunk with Black. I fuck with Black hella heavy. One of my favorite tracks on here though is Lies with Ty Dolla $ign and YG. Let's just admit that Ty Dolla $ign is probably amazing, is better on features than fucking Future. Let's just admit it. Ty Dolla $ign is dope when it comes to features. I mean, yeah, he's dope as fuck. Party Next Door is up there too. And they need an album. They need another album because that's the shit. But anyway, let's get into Lies real quick, because that's my shit, and I just feel like hearing it now.
backstabber. Stop telling lies on me. That shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Stop telling lies on me. That shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Little bitch, you ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage.
Hey, who the fuck said I ain't him? Got a new deposit, nigga, I ain't them. They playing with the shit and I don't see no wins. I'm trying to get the pussy mommy one more again. Ayy, I fucked it up, I made enough. My rims, my truck, my roof is stuck. My house, my luck, my bitch, my yard, my cash been large. Ayy, got the bitch attitude at the old place. 488, yeah, with the road rage. Nine on my lap, I ain't never play safe. I ain't got a rap to you niggas been straight. You ain't cute, lying for the gram, bitch, you ain't cute. Hate this, hate that, that ain't cool. Said I did you dirty, but that ain't true, ayy.
Stop telling lies on me, that shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Stop telling lies on me, that shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Little bitch, you ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage.
You said I hit it raw, you lying. You said I ate them draws, you lying. Reaching for the stars, you trying. The homegirls wanna beat your ass and now you hide. I fucked you once, once enough. I beat it up, then left, you stuck. We not in touch, you mad as fuck. I'ma try to stop thinking with my dick here for once. Hey, you want some rapper dick for the clout. She wanna be seen when you take her out. You from LA, but you made it to the south. Fresh off the flight, cause you just got flew out. Damn, find out your Instagram a lie. You fucked up my vibe. Can't fuck with you, cause I got too much pride. Go Gucci, man, get the fuck out my ride.
Stop telling lies on me. That shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Stop telling lies on me. That shit ain't okay. Hey, hey, hey. Little bitch, you ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage. You ain't got no, you ain't got no, you ain't got no leverage.
That was Lies. Hope y'all was feeling that too. But let's get into some other shit. Raz B was arrested for domestic violence, but he claims self-defense. Sources close to Raz told TMZ that the singer and his girlfriend got into an argument that turned physical when she attacked him. And Raz's side claims he was defending himself. They are told that the girlfriend informed a family member about the altercation, which led to cops being called and Raz B being arrested. Raz insists he did not purposely strike or choke her. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that police will be investigating to see what led to the altercation, and some evidence may include surveillance footage because it happened in a parking lot area. I said this about a few weeks ago, but I feel like this era nowadays are getting to this point where women feel like it's okay to put their hands on a man just because they know that he's not going to hit them back. That's honestly how I feel. And I'm not saying that it's okay to hit. I don't believe really in hitting anybody unless it's truly to defend yourself. I don't believe in you hitting somebody just because you don't like what they said, or you just strike first. You know, like it's ridiculous, because if it gets to a point where you have to be physical, you need to leave, period. Or if you feel like you just want to hit somebody just because their words, you know, like, walk away. Just walk away. I can handle somebody talking shit about me or saying it to my face. I can just walk away from that shit. But I'm also pretty good at talking shit back. But if it ever gets to a point where we need to fight, I'm going to walk away from the situation unless you put your hands on me. Then I have to defend myself. And with women, it's hard because you want to walk away and you're supposed to walk away. What do you do when she actually puts her hands on you? The right answer is to walk away, because you shouldn't hit anybody. And that person that always puts their hands on you to actually hurt you, to demean you, to like make you feel less than, that's someone that you don't really need in your life, and you should walk away, period. So I hope that this situation is just him defending himself, because it would suck for him to finally get back. Like this tour, they made like one of their shows, they did like 5 million. So it's like it would suck for them to lose, for him to lose that. It would suck for the rest of the group to be able to lose out on the money that they're making from this tour because of one person's mistake. So they have 10 like stops left, so hopefully he'll be able to get out as soon as he can and get back on tour with them. Man, Raz is going through it. I mean, last month he decided to quit, but then ultimately came back on the tour because he told people that he was scared for his safety and feeling unappreciated because of their old manager, Chris Stokes, being around or lurking around. The man's troubled, and we shouldn't negate his emotional trauma, his PTSD from what allegedly had happened to him when he was younger. So let's pray for the young brother, because I hope that he makes it through this, because that's tough for anybody. Sticking with music, Remy Ma turned herself in to the cops facing assault charges. She's officially been bailed out, and Remy saw the judge today, and her bail was set at $1,500. She's claiming that all the accusations made by Brittany Taylor is all a lie. Taylor allegedly claimed the attack happened at 9:30, and there's video proof that Remy was at home at the time. It's crazy. Remy Ma was in jail. She just got out like a year or two ago, maybe. Had a baby, the golden child. Like she's moving on and moving forward. And people who don't know, they're saying that Brittany Taylor is claiming that Remy Ma punched her in the right eye while backstage during the Pretty Lou benefit concert in Irving Plaza at near Union Square on the 16th of last month. So it kind of sucks, and I don't believe, I don't know Remy, but I don't believe that she would attack somebody just for shits and giggles or for no reason. But you know, Remy's not one to fuck with, but prayers up to her. And I know everything's gonna work out for her. Soulja Boy, speaking of jail, Soulja Boy was sentenced to 240 days in jail for violating his probation. I saw that picture of him in that orange jumpsuit. That man looked crazy. He looked crazy. I still don't fuck with Soulja Boy at all. I don't give a fuck about Soulja Boy. He's still a bitch to me. He had an awakening. This man is gonna be in jail for 240 days. He has credit for 40 days served. The judge told Soulja that he was originally considering sentencing him to 2 years in state prison, but decided to give him some leniency. The judge also acknowledged that Soulja Boy missed out on business opportunities while behind bars. He was taken into custody earlier this month after a judge said that he failed to do his court-ordered community service and even conspired to falsify evidence he had completed it. I have, like, my own, like, things with probation. Like, I feel like probation just keeps black men and in the system for longer than they need, and be able to, like, their rights are still taken away from them. We all saw what happened with the Meek Mill situation. His rights were absolutely violated, and the prison reform absolutely needs to happen. It's insane to me to see so many people on probation who are unable to live their lives and really get out there. And it sucks that a lot of freedoms are taken away, like the right to vote. I get it, you know, but you want to strip them of their dignity, of their manhood, of their freedoms as a civilian in this city, or a person in the United States. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's like the absolute way to control somebody, to make sure that they don't have the ability to change not only their circumstances, but the circumstances of others. If we're really trying to rehabilitate people in prison, why is it that at every turn they're unable to go back to or be reacclimated into society? It's sad. And Soulja Boy's situation is just another one of those situations. But looking at him conspiring to falsify evidence, I don't know. He's an idiot, but I wouldn't hold that. That's not something I would like wholeheartedly hold that against him. But at the same time, we need to do better, especially as Black people in this community. Like, we just need better. We need to do better. It's just a lot nowadays. Something sad, another thing sad, god damn, it's sad. Bushwick Bill, the Ghetto Boys, he let everybody know that he is fighting stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Man, 52-year-old man, told TMZ that he was diagnosed back in February and he's currently undergoing intensive chemotherapy treatments, but he says it's too early to tell how his body's responding to the chemo. He says that his diagnosis came as a shock, but he was getting tests for a month for a mass on his pancreas. A mass doctor said was benign. He's been keeping his diagnosis private, only telling close family members, but he's finally ready to share the sad news with the world. And even though he hasn't found it in him to tell the other members, Scarface and Willie D, what's up, he says he's going to keep fighting. He's not afraid of death. Something he made very clear in his old song, Ever So Clear. And I'm going to get into that song just for a little bit, because that's just a sad ass, like, story. It's just sad.
Hey, this is what makes you feel like, you know.
I never had shit. I felt like an outcast, treated like a misfit. Damn near didn't make it on my day of birth, thinking, was I really supposed to be on this planet Earth? I take a deep breath and then another follows, cause hard shit is kinda hard to swallow. See, it's rough being a loner, not knowing any given day and time I could wind up a goner. See, people got it bad from Jump Street, and being short is just another strike against me. I used to get funny looks cause I was small, and trying to make it like running to a brick wall. Given the odds I was up against, bro, the average nigga would've quit a long time ago. But now I've got a record out, I'm doing shows, people paying to see me turn it out. Now I'm the spice around town. It's funny how an album could change a nigga's life around. I got friends and bitches on my dick, but when they look at Richard, all they see is Bushwick. Sometimes I don't know a friend from a foe, and every different day it's a different fucking hoe. And now that my pockets are getting bigger, I'm meeting hoes who only wanna juice a nigga. They tell me that they love me and all that, but really they just wait for me to fall flat so they could get me for my income. Take me for all I got and then some, like Trina, you dig? I fucked up and got too attached to the bitch's kid, knowing that she used the baby to use me, took him out my life, mentally abusing me. But as the time went by, I got another slimmy, and she was just like the first one, screaming gimme, but not in the exact same way. She had a different type of game she liked to play. Her name was Crystal, she played the quiet type, and for a little while shit seemed alright. But just like the first hoe, homie, when shit got hectic, the bitch broke out on me. And it's getting out of hand, G, cause nobody seems to understand me. Reminiscing got me feeling kinda low. I broke out the Everclear and then I drunk some more, until it was all gone. Now I'm looking for somebody to take my pain out on, but not just anybody, G. I'ma take that on Tamika, cause she's the closest to me. Full of that Everclear and high in that Buddha.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get into that for a little bit. So that's pretty much everything that I really wanted to get into, except for one small, just teeny weeny little thing. Uber had to apologize for accidentally, I'm using quotes here, using the N-word in customer support tweet. What the fuck? So somebody tweeted out to Uber support. I guess this guy's like a whatever page, but it said at the real V Cheney, hitting up Uber support and says, I had an awful driver today. I want my money back. Please respond so we can work this out. And Uber support responded and said, we're so sorry about that, nigger. Please send us a DM with your phone number with additional details of your concern so we can connect. I was like, what the fuck? That was insane. Before we all get our panties in a bunch, it is important to note that the account Uber support was responding to is a whole troll account. Yeah, so at the real the Cheney account, which consists of mostly MAGA trolling and screenshots of other Twitter users tricking brand accounts into tweeting racist replies. For example, if the at real the Cheney account had a display name with the slur, then it changed it after receiving the reply from Uber. A bot reply from Uber support quoting the detail of the display name might read as the deleted tweet screenshot above. This doesn't excuse Uber for using a racial slur in their response. Like, come on. Like, let's be real. Somebody's behind there clickety-clacking away. So currently, the alleged troll account has set their name to Dick. In the event that another company responds to them, there is a chance they'd find themselves out apologizing to. But Uber said that they are currently investigating how this happened to begin with. They issued an apology. We'd like to sincerely apologize for the offensive tweet that was sent earlier. We're investigating what happened to make sure it doesn't happen again. Fire the person who sent that tweet. Duh. Simple as that. But that was wild. That was so fucking stupid. Just dumb as fuck. Not as dumb as the Giants taking Duke quarterback Daniel Jones, but still just stupid. I mean, they did that shit, like, in a heartbeat. Like, hearing the name even was like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Who is that? I think the perfect response to that was Joe Budden's whole face and body. Like, that was insane. That was fucking wild. I'm like, who the hell is this kid? And even me looking it up and trying to like find out who he is, that was just wild. Like, I feel like they want to lose. They want to lose. Cause that was insane. What the fuck was that about? Anyway, I feel like this is the time where we just need to look at the New York franchise and just say, y'all really don't give a fuck anymore, do you? I mean, it's not just like, I don't know, it's not just the Giants, it's the Jets, it's fucking the Knicks, and I'm a Knicks fan, and I can say this. Like, I know that right now they're probably looking at Zion to come in and save them, but they can't look to this young man and hope that he's going to be the savior. They need to build. And I'm hoping Kyrie smartens up and goes over to New York. And I'm hoping that KD comes to New York. That'd be great. And I would love to see Carmelo come back to New York. That's just me. Yeah, Giants, weird for that one. Weird. So, lastly, Jay-Z had his B-sides performance at the Webster Hall, and that shit was dope. But just one little thing that he spit out about Nipsey and gentrify your own hood before these people do it. So check out this clip if you haven't heard it.
Okay. Gentrify your own hood, but these people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people moving. That's a small glimpse into what Nipsey was doing. Anybody still confused as to what he was doing? The neighborhood designed to keep us trapped. They redlined it so poverty climbs if you live by blacks. They depress the asset and take the property back. It's a ruthless but a genius plan in fact. So now we fighting on these scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gonna act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel.
Man, Jay-Z is on some next level shit, and I just want to know if people are actually going to not just listen and share what he's saying, but if they're actually going to like heed those words and really put in that work, really like buy into your hood and turn that shit out and fix that shit, hire your own people from that hood, from that area, and be able to save your city, save your community. Jewish people did it. White people do it all the fucking time. You know, even in Chinatown, they buy in their own community. So it's their money circulating through their own town before a visitor comes in and puts in their money. Like, that's beautiful, man. And we need to do that more in the black community instead of, like, thinking that there's not enough money for us to eat off of. Like, everybody can eat. We just need to be able to recognize that there is enough that we can all share, that we can all eat. Man. Jay-Z. Is he the greatest of all time, though? Yeah, that's a stupid question. Yeah, he is. Anyway, so I'm going to get out of here. For my outro, I wanted to go like old school. I wanted to give you something like Good You Can Feel, but I really didn't know like what I should put out there and what to play. So I thought I had to get into something. I thought I'd get into this because this is always like a good one to feel good to. So this is. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna play that because I just thought about what it is. I had something in mind, but I just said fuck it. Yeah, all right. So I'm gonna go into from the Love Movement album, but there was really no love when they made this album. Tribe Called Quest, Find a Way. And if you really, if that confused you, there's no love in this album. You have to look at and watch the documentary of Beats, Rhymes, and Life, the story of A Tribe Called Quest. Incredible documentary. Incredible. So here it is. Find a Way. And enjoy, everybody.
Messing me up my whole head, teasing me just like Tita did Martin. Now look at what you starting. Schoolboy crushing it ain't on the hush. The whole world see it, but you can't. My peoples they complain, sitting raving rant.
Come on.
Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog as a pausing pen.
Speaking of which, got a leash and a wish just to rock you, miss. Make a militant move, beat my strategy.
What?
End of the day, you're not mad at me. Not dealing with nobody, now that's what you told me.
What?
I said, hey, yo, it's cool, we could just be friendly. Cause yo, picture me messing it up. Her mind not corrupt with the LC cups.
Huh.
Shit. I'm on my J.O.
Come on.
Bullshit and hoping that the day goes slow.
Wow.
Got me like a friend, what confuses me though? Is kisses when we breathe, tell me what's the deal, yo? Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move then, you confuse things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move then, you confuse things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way.
Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Making things for me towards you harder. Killing me just when I think we there. You douse the whole vibe and the close in the air. Telling me about next man, but next man ain't the nigga with the plans. Who got your heart in mind?
It's about time that you just unwind.
Come on.
And let it just happen, make it front free. Just sweat me like money panty. Digging you, getting inside of your steel.
What?
It's the quest cat keeping you company.
Hi.
Forever or however you want it.
Word, word. Now wait a minute, ma, before you dead it to the curb.
Yeah.
Try to make your precious, which is good, not the herb. But it ain't me, and I ain't blurred. I'ma still just chill with you. Maybe things could change if you change your view.
Come on.
If not, then I guess it is cool. Just keep to yourself and abide by the rules.
You wanna sip more on my living room floor? Play Nintendo with seasonino. Pick up my phone, say pop a knock home. Sex all night, mad head in the morning. Spin my bees, smoke all my weed. Tattoo on TT, saying B-I-G. Now check it, you wanna be my man, squeeze, baby. Don't you? You wanna give me what I need, baby. Won't you? Your life as my wife, just think. Full length, make fat X and O links. Bracelets to match, conversation was all that. Showed you the safe combinations and all that. Guess you can say you's the one I trusted. Who would ever think that you would spread like mustard? Shit got hot, you sent feds to my spot. Took me to court, tried to take all I got. Another intricate plot, the bitch said I raped her. Damn, why she wanna stick me for my paper? My Moschino hole, my Versace hottie. Come to find out, was fucking everybody. You knew about me, the fake ID. Cases in Virginia, body in D.C. Whoa, always me, that's what I get for tricking. Came out on bail, commenced to ass kicking. Licking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard was Papa, don't hit me no more. Disrespect my clique, my shit's imperial. Fuck around and made a milk box material. You feel me? Sucking dick, running your lips cause of you. I'm on some real fucker bitch shit.
Jumped into Get Money by Junior Mafia. I know y'all feeling that little throwback. All right, so I'm getting out of here. On Saturday, don't forget, I'm continuing on with my list of top 100 hip-hop albums from 80 to 71. This one's gonna be pretty damn good. Although I kind of have this feeling that I'm going to get chewed out again. But I kind of don't care. Because I still stand behind it. But again, if anybody has like an argument as to why Slim Shady LP is above All Eyes on Me, make sure that you are arguing make sure your argument is valid as it pertains to why one album is better than the other. And not just look at the artist because you don't like them for whatever reason. It's about the work. It's about the impact, the rhyme capability, the concepts, all of that. So still, I want to hear from you guys. Hit me up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate y'all so fucking much. And I'll see y'all on Saturday. Peace.